good evening on this Friday night. It's an unusual, it's not an ordinary, I'll say it's not an ordinary Friday night, is it? Friday nights are typically sort of the end of the week and the end of the work week, I mean, and it's a time when the young people sometimes get together and have their activities, at least in Belize, that's when it is. It's kind of the time when the week's work is done and it's time to relax. Well, I don't see anybody looking so relaxed here this evening. As a congregation, you've been anticipating this, you've been thinking about this weekend for quite some time, and with a bit of apprehension, I'm sure, and not only for those who feel like those who are potential nominees. This is something, there's a serious atmosphere here this evening for a reason. And because there will be changes. This weekend will bring changes to this congregation, especially for one man and his wife and children, possibly. That doesn't mean that things will be worse for him, but they certainly will be different in some important ways. And so some will feel a sense of relief after this weekend is over and a sense of a burden being lifted. Some will possibly have a sense of having participated in a way and have not been chosen at this time. And there's feelings and emotions that go along with that. Someone is going to, if the Lord tarries and things go as we plan, someone is going to feel the weight of new responsibilities begin to settle down on him. But all of us, I hope, will feel in a very real way that the Lord has spoken, that the Lord has chosen, and that the Lord has made his will known, and that the Holy Spirit has spoken through this congregation. The character of the congregation will be impacted by the man who you choose to be your leader. His teaching will impact and shape the character of this congregation. His influence, both by his example and his character, will impact and shape the character of this congregation. And so there's good reason to take this responsibility that we all have here this evening very seriously. And at the same time, though, we don't want to move ahead fearfully. We want to be able to move ahead with confidence, with full confidence that the Lord will guide us. We have a process. Ordination should not happen suddenly. It's not like you've been thinking about this for a long time, so it's not something that was announced last week or last month that you're going to you've decided to have an ordination here and it's going to happen here quickly. There's a process, and do we trust that process? Well, yes, we do, but maybe it would be better to say that, well, the process involves quite a bit of time, quite a bit of thinking. You know it's coming ahead of time. You have time to think about, to pray about it, and think about it, and ask the Lord for guidance. You have time for that. You have time to observe and evaluate. All of that. So we we have that process, and do we trust that process? And I would say yes, but maybe it's better to say that we strive to honor God in every step of the process, and our trust is actually not in the process itself, but our trust is in God and His guidance, and trusting Him to speak to us, and make His will known in that way. Now, if the Lord Jesus Himself would appear tonight and point His finger and say, "This is the man that I have chosen," I'm convinced that every one of us would fall in line behind Him and support that choice. We would move ahead with confidence. But that's not the way it works. I don't expect the Lord Jesus to show up in person tonight and point to someone and say, "This is the man." And neither do I expect that somebody's head will begin to glow, and that way we'll know that he is the person. That is not how it works. The Holy Spirit does not guide us in that way today. And so how does he? The question we want to ask is, how can we have the confidence that it is actually the Spirit speaking through the church tonight? How do we know for sure that just because everybody agrees that this must be the Holy Spirit speaking? Can we know for sure that every time a group agrees on something, that it is evidence that without a doubt it's the Spirit of God moving? Well, no, we can't know that for sure, because just because we're all agreed on something, that it is actually God speaking to us necessarily. Although I would say in the church, well, it depends on what kind of people we are. That's what it depends on. It depends if we're spiritual people. I think we can have that confidence. If we're not spiritual people, if we're carnal people, then we have no reason to have that kind of confidence. So Jesus Christ is not here in person tonight, and He has left it up to you with the help and guidance of the Spirit and using the wisdom that He has given us, or that we gain by walking with God in our daily lives. He's going to use you to call a man to the work of the ministry, and that's no trivial thing. So how does the Spirit help and guide us in these important and weighty matters? The book of Acts gives us some. Now, we're not, the book of Acts, the church is very new, and we don't do everything exactly in the way the book that was done in the book of Acts by any means. And one of the things that probably was done in the book of Acts that we just seldom hear about today is that it seems like there were times maybe when the elders that David was talking about here tonight, the leaders of the church, just simply said, you know, they just chose other elders. They didn't always consult the congregation, it seems like, maybe, but many times they did, or sometimes they did at least, because we can see that. But so there's a story in the book of Acts that I really like. I just really, really like this, these few verses in Acts chapter 13. And we're looking at the confidence that the early church had to say that the Holy Spirit, this is the will of the Holy Spirit, or this is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said this. And so Acts 13, chapter verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, listen to this, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So here we have this group of, and we don't even know for sure why they were together, except that they were fasting and praying and just praying and ministering to the Lord. They were having some type of service there, and they just knew something happened. And I don't think an audible voice, well, I don't know for sure, but I don't expect that it was an audible voice, but they somehow had full confidence that the Holy Spirit was saying, Paul and Barnabas, they should be sent off on this work. And so they had confidence. A couple of chapters later, there's an issue in the church. There's a disagreement in the church, and some thought one thing and some thought another. It was basically the question was could be very divisive, and so that's in Acts chapter 15. And that was the question of whether all the believers needed to be circumcised, like the Jews thought they did. And so they took that question back to Jerusalem, the apostles did, and they took that question back, and the congregation got together, and I don't know who it all was, if it was all just elders and leaders, or others as well, probably, and they really kind of hashed this thing out. They talked about it, and some said one thing, and some said another, but they came to an agreement, and you know what? They said they sent letters back to the churches where the issue had kind of started, and they said it seemed good to the Holy Ghost to say this. And this, and they said, they gave them instructions what to say. And it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. So that's important. When something is good to the Holy Ghost, and we know that it's good to the Holy Ghost, it seems good to the Holy Ghost, we should agree. We should agree with that. So they said they did. They said, it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us not to lay on you any greater burden than so on. I won't read that necessarily. And then there's one more place in the book of Acts, chapter 6, where there was a need, and we will read that. That's a pretty familiar little passage there, but we'll read it. It says, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look out from among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and it goes on to name those seven men. But the point I wanted to notice here is that in this case, the congregation was given the responsibility to seek out men full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom, and of an honest report. Now, how are you going to find men that are full of the Holy Ghost and full of wisdom and of honest report if you aren't full of the Holy Ghost and you don't have some wisdom and you aren't an honest person? So the point here is that obviously we're looking for candidates to be leaders. We're obviously looking for candidates that have these qualities, full of the Holy Ghost and full of wisdom and full they're men of honest report. But those who find those men, those who name those men, also you can't expect a carnal man to know how to choose a spiritual man. You can hardly expect someone who doesn't have the Spirit of God in him to be able to point or name someone who does. So the ones that were chosen, or the ones that were doing the choosing, I mean to say, needed to be guided by the Holy Spirit. They needed to, in order to know if these were men of honest report and men of wisdom, they needed to know them. They needed to know the men whom they named. They needed to have been among them. And that's an important thing as well. We should know. When we give a name, we should know that person. And sometimes we don't really know a person until we've seen them go through hard times. How do they deal with adversity? How do they deal with suffering? How do they deal when things don't go? How do they deal with when things don't go the way they would like them to go? How do they deal in a men's meeting when things don't, when they don't do it, when everybody's seeing it wrong, and all of that? There's that. There's that part of adversity. There's also the thing of how do they deal with success? How do they deal with when things are going very, very well, when they've been successful? The poem by Rudyard Kipling, that poem, If, when he says, if you can, that just slipped my mind, but he's talking about, triumph and disaster, and treat those two imposters just the same. In other words, how we deal with success sometimes tells us just as much about us as how we, when we deal with failure, and when we deal with when things don't go well. So we need to know those who we name. If we want the Holy Spirit, if we want to have the confidence that the Holy Spirit is really speaking through us, we need to know. We need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to be honest. We need to have wisdom. We need to know. So we should probably not expect the Spirit to guide us during this crucial time if He's not allowed to guide us through the mundane times of our lives. So, am I consciously, intentionally taking God into account in the rest of my life? Not just for this occasion, not just now, but am I taking God into account in the rest of my life? The Holy Spirit can work and speak through the church, through me, through you, when I lay aside my own carnality. When we lay aside our own carnality, not our humanity, we don't, you know, sometimes we get that mixed up. We make excuses for ourselves, and we say, well, I'm only human, and I did this because I was human, and more than likely we did it not because we're human, but because we were carnal. There's nothing wrong with our humanity. God made that. The carnality is what's the imposter, and the carnality is what makes us do things we shouldn't do. And so when we lay aside our carnality, we can be led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit can work through us. But our carnality stands in direct opposition to the work of the Spirit. So, are my carnal habits and traits being crucified or being justified? Am I crucifying my carnal habits and traits, or am I justifying them? That's a question we need to ask if we want to. We need to look at ourselves, and if we want the Holy Spirit to actually speak through us and work through us, that's how we need to be honest about that one. So am I taking God into account in all of my life? Are my carnal habits and traits being crucified, or are they being justified? So we examine, we're obviously we've been looking people here the last while, we've been examining or evaluating, and probably by now the Lord has given us a name, or we feel like we have a name, maybe, likely, and we've compared them to the qualities that we see listed in the Bible. But again, it is important that not only do we examine them for traces of carnality, and or whether they're carnal or whether they're spiritual, but ourselves. Not only in the lives of those who are candidates, but those who give the names. There may be several names given. There likely will be several names given. One will be chosen, but all need to be led by the Spirit. Am I approachable? We're looking at ways, we're looking at things that, how we can have the confidence that God really will speak through us. Am I approachable and teachable? Did you know that if your brothers and sisters have a hard time getting your attention and getting you to see something that needs a little correction in your life, did you know that it's very possible that God is having a little hard time getting your attention as well? And we like to think, well, no, God could easily get my attention. Well, he could, yes. But more than likely, he's been at it. And if your brothers and sisters feel like, I can't get this person's attention, I really can't get him to see something I really wish he would see, more than likely God feels the same way. And so, am I approachable? Am I teachable? Do I appreciate correction? Well, that's kind of hard, isn't it? That young boy Samuel, the young man who was lying in bed, he thought Eli was calling him one night, and he ran to Eli. Well, it turned out, as we know, it turned out that it wasn't Eli that was calling him. God was calling him. He thought it was Eli, but it was actually God. You know that sometimes we think it's our neighbor or our brother that's talking to us, and it's actually God that's talking to us. God is talking to us through them. They are too, but it's God. It's beyond that, it's God that's talking to us. So, teachableness. Am I teachable? If Samuel would have ignored what he thought was Eli, he would have ignored the Lord. I'm pretty sure that when we ignore, sometimes when we ignore what people are trying to tell us, we're ignoring the Lord. Does a successful outcome prove the guidance of the Spirit, or does a problematic outcome prove that he wasn't guiding? That's just a question to think about. If you've lived very long, you've probably seen ordinations that didn't turn out the best in the long run. Does that mean that the Spirit was not guiding? There's another aspect of the Spirit speaking through the church that we don't talk about too much because it's not a pleasant thing. So, we want to have the full confidence, and I think I have no reason to believe we won't be able to have the full confidence at the end of this weekend that God has spoken and that the man who is given the responsibility is God's man. I have no reason to believe that we can't have that full confidence. That's a real thing, and I believe that, you believe it, we believe that. And if I didn't believe that, if I would have thought that this was really kind of my idea to be ordained, I would have probably thought a long time ago that it wasn't a very good idea, and I would have abandoned it, probably. But the fact that I believe that it wasn't my idea, it was God speaking through the church. That means that you just can't lay it aside so lightly. You don't just decide that, well, it's pretty tough and I'm gonna just lay it down. We have been called by God through the church to be ministers of the gospel, and that's a real thing. And so you can't just lay it aside so easily when the going gets tough. On the other hand, the same God who has called you to this responsibility through the church can also speak through the church if the time comes, God forbid, but if the time comes when you no longer hold the qualifications. If I become divisive or a promoter of that which is not consistent with sound doctrine, or if I'm guilty of pastoral malpractice, the Bible calls that being lords over God's heritage, or neglect, or if I become unapproachable, unteachable, and I don't repent, it could well be that God will use the same people that he used to call me to this ministry to call me to lay it down. I believe that. I believe that God speaks to the church both ways. And that's not something we like to think about. It's not something we hope will happen. But I need to remember that God speaks through his church. And he speaks. I need to pay attention to that. That doesn't mean you have to be careful to preach what people want to hear. It means that you need to be careful to preach what people need to hear, and what they need to hear is the truth. You know, the possibility of being called by God and getting off to a pretty good start really does exist. And then ending badly. Getting off to a pretty good start and then ending badly really does exist. Again, we don't like to think about that, and we don't want to think along those lines. But it's true. It does happen. Saul, the first king of Israel, started off humble, self-effacing, but a man of courage. But something happened. And God told him, or Samuel told him, when you were little in your own eyes, then God could use you, but something happened to you. And that can happen to us. It can happen. It's not only Saul. Solomon's another example of someone who God chose and blessed him, appeared to him, spoke to him. And he made his own choices and turned away from God. And those are unfortunate. And so let us allow the Holy Spirit to speak through the congregation at those unfortunate times as well. After the Holy Spirit speaks through this congregation to select from among yourselves a man to lead them, then what? Then what? Does the Holy Spirit simply give you a break now and you have nothing to do until the next ordination? Absolutely not. So wise leaders will seek the voice of the Lord through the congregation. There are wise men in the congregation of believers. There are men here that are wiser than me. And there may be some here that are wiser than you that are not in the ministry. And the Lord speaks through them. And wise leaders will seek the voice of the Lord through the congregation in that way. So be encouraged as you give your nomination tonight. Be encouraged. Move forward with confidence. It's right to feel some tension. After all, like we said, this is important. And somebody is going to be receiving a responsibility that will change things for them. On the other hand, we can move forward with the confidence that the Lord wants to speak, that the Lord wants to speak through you. He wants to use your voice. He wants to use your, he wants to use the wisdom and the knowledge and the filling of the Holy Spirit that he has given you to provide a leader for the church here. And so may the Lord bless you with calmness and with courage and with grace, and it's especially a blessing on those who may be called to participate in this ordination process, and other than in the naming. So, again, blessings to you. Let's stand for a word of prayer.